It's good to be here again and to seek the face of God in a place of prayer. Whenever I tell people about the GO in the SRL, there's a meeting where a zero agenda. So I say it's a zero agenda meeting, there's no agenda. Because it's all about Him. It's not about what we want. Essentially, it's about what He wants. You've heard Mama say many times that God will help us to pray His prayers, not our prayers. We pray, lots of the prayers we pray are our own prayers, but He wants us to pray His prayers. We seek His face and find out what He really wants and how He wants it. Many of us have become supervisors to God. We want to show Him how to live and how things should be. I want to teach Him that He doesn't know. So I want to show Him how He should do it. And when He doesn't do it that way, we get angry with Him. You feel me yet? Amen. You know, I also say this to Him all the time. I say, you must die to live. Many of us want to live, but we don't want to die. But to die, to live, you have to die. You must die so you can live. And that process of dying is what many of us run away from. But it must happen anyway. And so some things God allows around you is for you to die. So that He can live in you. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. And at the point he said, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So when I move around and when I talk, I see that I still need to die in many areas so that Christ can live in me. So you don't see me, you see Him. You don't hear me, you hear Him. When I look at the body of Christ today, my heart quakes at what I see. It's so much about me. It's so much about me. Mine. Me, myself, and I. The tree is one. Sounds like three different things, but it's the same thing. Me, myself, I. I want us to read the scripture today and impress on, as the Lord helps us, trusting that God will guide us through and get us to the point where we're able to call upon Him today. John chapter 15. By the way, for those of you who like titles and topics for the messages, there is no title for this one. John 15. I'm going to read from verse 1 through 8. I wish I could read everything, but let's just do 1 to 8 for now. It says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine. you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire. I like that bit. Ask whatever you desire, and it will be done for you. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. May the Lord bless the reading of his words. Hallelujah. Oh, many of you have left the traditional churches, huh? Amen. You see, when I was looking through these and praying about this, I've taught this chapter so many times, but very recently I looked at it again and I missed something from the beginning. And Jesus said there, I am the true vine. I missed the word true vine. For many years I taught this, I never saw true vine. So I had to go check through every available translation I had. And every one of them said, I am the true vine. Jesus said, he's the true vine. So which means there are so many vines out there. But there is one true vine. And my Father, he says, is the vine dresser. I am the true vine. Every branch of a tree must abide in a vine. Otherwise, it cannot bear fruit. But now, knowing that Jesus is the only true vine, where are you attached? Many of us usually assume that because I'm in church, I'm in the vine. Because I'm a pastor, I'm in the vine. Because I'm involved in ministry, I'm in the vine. No. There are many vines out there, but there is one true vine. And Jesus is the true vine. There's every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And everyone that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear much fruit. Those of you who are involved in agriculture here, you know that the pruning process is not a very fantastic process for the tree, is it? But you need to prune the tree so that it will bear much fruit. The pruning process takes away what competes with the nutrition in that branch. The things that are dead, the things that don't make any sense, that are just hanging around, they need to be removed so that the branch can enjoy the fullness of the nutrition that is there. So when God puts you through that pruning process, many of us end our journey there. Christianity ends for us. No, I can't take this anymore. No, this is too much. No, I'm a child of God. Why should I be going through all this stuff? You need to go through them so you can bear much fruit. He needs to get rid of those things out of you so you can bear much fruit. So my Father prunes them. So you're already clean because of the word that is spoken to you. God's word is what he uses to deal with us sometimes, isn't it? You know, you sit down listening to the message, oh, I don't like what he said. He's not speaking with grace. Well, the pruning process is taking place. Grace. Grace is interesting, you know. And grossly abused these days. But we fail to realize that grace is a teacher that teaches you to say no to those stupid things around us. But what are the teachings we get about grace today? To embrace those foolish things that God wants to take you away from. Abide in me. When it says abide in me, it means abide in my word as well, you know, because he is the word. Abide in my word. And in John 8, 31, 32, there was talking about when he was speaking to the Jews that believed in him. He said, if you continue in my instruction, something, if you remain in my word, something, if you abide in my teaching, you are my disciples indeed. He said, by this you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide, if you remain. What does it mean to abide? To stay, to remain. That's your place of abode. Right? We all have addresses. In the Western world, you can do, there are many things you can't do if you don't have an address. They don't deliver letters to you in the streets, do they? They bring it to an address. It has to be your address. When they are looking for you, they know where to find you. You know, they have a good database. That's why when you think you're driving in one part of the country and you want to just mess around with your car and you just do all the stuff you want to do, they will track you down to your address. They know where you are. That's where you live. That's where you abide. That's your place of residence. That's your point. That's where they reach you. Jesus said, make me your address. Do you know what that means? They are looking for you. Just look for Jesus. You find him there. Make me your address. Make me your point of reference. Make me your base of influence. Make me the source of everything you say and do. Draw from me. Abide in me. Is Jesus your address? Or maybe I just say something out in the street and somebody says, oh, you know, he's a Christian as well. Really? I never knew that. I've known him 10 years. Which church does he go to? Abide in me, he said. So abide in his word. And you know what that means as well? Abide in love. You know why? Because God is love. You speak out of love. You act out of love. You respond out of love. You engage out of love. You interact out of love. You operate out of love. Now don't get this wrong and think that love is all that happy, clappy, smiling face all the time. No, love carries the rod of correction that drives the person stupidity out of your heart as well. Love is rebuke. When you're in the wrong, that's love. Abide in love. Says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. God's mission, that's what we call it. To love God. If you don't love God, you can't love me. The reason why we're here is because for you to love this nation, you love God. Why do you think we're here? Because we want America to become, you know, to get the billions and trillions of dollars all over the world. Is that why we're here? No. That the love of God will rule in America. That the love of God will penetrate into the heart of every American. And not just every American, every person in the world will be touched by the love of God and live in the love of God and manifest the love of God. That our government will be ruled by men who love God, women who love God. Abide in love. If you're going to be an intercessor that will make any impact in any way, you don't have a choice about these matters. It's not optional. This is a compulsory course. You must abide in love. From that platform, you can engage appropriately. Abide in me. Which is something that's also abiding God. Where is your address? It's a simple question, isn't it? The heart of an intercessor must be a heart that is stuck to abiding in Him. In all that we do and engage with. It says, if you abide in me. You know, if you take a branch of a tree and remove it from the tree and bring it into a hall like this, full of, let's say, trillions of dollars, and we take that branch and put on the money, what's going to happen to that branch? It's going to die. Or probably let's get a branch from one of the forests here, from the tree, and put it in a private jet and fly to Washington, D.C. and take it, you know, give it a red carpet limousine transfer to the White House, get into the Oval Room, and just place it on the table there. Yeah. What's going to happen to that branch? It's going to die. Because the only place the branch of a tree would survive, it's in the ground. So when I look at the church today and the things we are pursuing and running after, thinking this is what makes your mind, it makes my heart to quake. Well, I love it when the scripture says the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. The branch of the tree can only survive in the vine. Because all that it requires, all that it needs for life is in the vine. It's not found anywhere else. If you cut the branch from a tree accidentally and you want that branch to survive, you better graft it back immediately. Hallelujah. You better graft it back because you have taken it from the place where it can survive. And it is sad to say, we have pastors leading huge ministries, thousands of people. Because the fruit they bear is not the fruit that he understands. I often say to people, I'm not looking for what works. I'm looking for what God approves. Many things work, but God is not in it. And God said to Moses, when the Israelites cried for water the first time, he said, strike the rock. He struck and they had water to drink, right? And next time they cried again, they gave him a lot of trouble. He was so angry, and God said, speak to the rock. And he was like, well, why do I just waste time in speaking? And then he struck, and water came out. For the Israelites, they saw a miracle. They got the water, they got what they wanted. Was it approved by God? Many things work, but he doesn't approve of them. Except you abide in me, he says, you can do nothing. I don't know what area you are functioning. I don't know what you're involved with doing. But when he says you can do nothing, it means you can do nothing. Without me, you can't be a good teacher. Without me, you can't be a good scientist. Without me, you can't be a good doctor. Without me, you can't be a good preacher. Without me, you can't be a good pastor. Without me, you can't be a good gardener. Without me, you can't be a good cook. Without me, you can do nothing. We need you more than anything else in this life. Because it is only in him that we find our source of livelihood. Without him, no nation can amount to anything. If a nation rejects him, they reject their fulfillment. And that's why we must pray that America embrace him. Because without him, America cannot be the America that he has ordained and designed for America to be. And that's why the devil keeps posting people in different positions, in different places, to fight America from abiding in the vine. Change the laws. Remove God from the people's heart. Remove God from the system. Detach them from God. And you know the implication. You take a branch off the tree, it dies. But when the branch is in the tree, is in the vine, when it is a season, it will produce fruit. Do you know that when the branch produces the fruit, it is not the branch that is the source of the fruit, it is the vine. And you know, for every fruit that comes out on each of the branch, in that fruit is another seed that goes to the ground, dies, and comes up again to produce another tree with a branch that brings up fruit with a seed inside that goes to the ground and dies again and comes up, and it is a continuous stuff. But for a lot of us, we're genetically modified Christians. Christianity ends with you. Seedless fruits. It's so sad when you look at life. I ask pastors questions all the time. I say, what do you think is the most important thing to God? What do you think God cares most about? And to your surprise, most of these pastors don't have the answers. It's not about how big the cathedral you have built. It's not about how much money you have. It's not about the mansions in which you live. It's not about the designer clothes you put on. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Pastors and designer clothes these days, Lord, have mercy. You know what I said to them? It's just the name of a tailor anyway. What's the most important thing to him? He's a soul. It's not in the miracles. An archbishop called me some time ago and wanted to have a meeting. And he said, I'd like you to handle the minister's conference, but we need someone who is going to do the crusades. But we're looking for someone who does miracles and healings. So I said, sir, I have one question to ask you, sir. What's the purpose of crusades? Is it miracles and healing, or is it soul winning? So why are you looking for a miracle worker? You want to employ some magicians? We have lots of them on stages these days. Magicians working with voodoo and witchcraft. In the name of the Lord, practicing witchcraft from the pulpits. In the name of the Lord, because they are not abiding in the vine, they do not have that capacity to release and produce that fruit that has a seed to produce another tree that will come up with a fruit that will produce another seed that will continue and continue and continue. So I said, why are you looking for a miracle worker? That's why we end up, you know, hiring people. I call them, they are hirelings anyway. Fly them in private jets, put them on 5-star hotels, give them nice limousine transfers. They have protocols all around you like, man. It's crazy. Just that some of those things, they're funny, stupid things. Went for a meeting once and I got to the airport and I said to my friend, watch it, they will not recognize him. I don't like doing posters and handbills. I don't believe in all this stuff. So they had my posters all over the whole of the town, big posters and handbills, radio advert, TV advert. I said to my friend, they will not recognize me when I do. And when we got now in the airport, I just walked around, walked out, went to the other end and came back. We were all standing there. They had these big things they've made. We were all hanging it, all the protocol guys. And you see my picture there. And they were all, then I walked from one end to the other. And then I walked from one end to the other. Then I walked to one of them. I said, what are you guys doing here? They said, oh, yeah, we have a big meeting happening. And we're expecting some of our speakers. They're coming in today. I said, really? I said, yeah. I said, so what are you going to do when you see them? He said, well, we're just waiting for them. We believe that they should have come with this plane. We're just waiting. You know? So I said, okay. So I walked over and I told my friend, I said, I told you. And I came back to him. I said, so if you see, I said, so what are you really waiting for? And he called my name. So I said, so when you see the man you're looking for, what do you do? He said, oh, we've got the vehicles ready and everything, the protocol. I said, I think the person you're looking for is here. Oh, you got all the protocols, everything. I said, look, what's wrong with all this? Put me in a very fancy car at the back to sit down. I was just laughing. And they had all the security men in front, with policemen, with guns, with siren, the shooting gun into the air. I said, look, this is foolish. You don't know who you're carrying in this right now. It's all nonsense. It's foolishness. And we think that that is where life is. No. Life is only found in Him. And as intercessors, we must strive, like Mama said to us, we must strive to remain in Him. Whatever it takes. That's why I love the scripture in Philippians where he says what? He said, whatever happens, good or bad, whatever happens to your interest or against your interest, whatever happens in your favor or against your favor, whatever happens, whether you like it or you don't like it, whatever happens, whether you have been robbed and cheated of everything or you've been given all that you do not even, you are not even worthy to be given, whatever happens, he says, there's one thing for you and I. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All the anger, all the vengeance, all the resentments, all the bitterness. He's just hiding out there in the, nobody ever hears. You don't even hear what you're saying yourself. Lord have mercy on us. He says, I am the vine. In case you didn't understand him when he started speaking, he said, I am the vine. I am that true vine. And you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. If you say you abide in him, why aren't you bearing fruit? The fruit of a believer is another believer. The fruit of a disciple is another disciple. This is different from the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians, okay? That is the fruit of the Spirit. It is not your fruit. The fruit of the believer is another believer. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is made manifest in you as you submit to the control. That's a word we don't like. Control. You and I, we must submit to the control of the Holy Spirit and He bears the fruit. It's not your fruit, it's His fruit. Hallelujah. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, when you get to that stage, you become, like it was written of Saul, you become another man. And the word man here is not gender specific. You become another man. When you abide in him and his word abides in you, you know what? It's no longer about you. There's something Mama said a few days ago, and it's something I've been talking about, but I just love the way she put it together. When you get to that point, you give up your rights and your will. When God's word abides in you, when God's word rules your life, when God's word controls your emotions, controls your thoughts, your ideas, your philosophies, if everything is drawn from the word of God, you get to a point where you have given up your right, you have given up your will. No wonder Jesus said, you will ask whatever you desire. Because at that point, you have been what? You have been so, what's the word to use there? Yeah, you've been so chiseled. You've been, selfishness has been chiseled, pruned from your life. And every prayer you pray gets an answer. All the greed, all the wickedness, all the anger, all the fighting, and all the, you've been. It's been chiseled out of you. Because that's what the word of God does. All scripture is God inspired, we're told in Timothy. And is profitable unto what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good works. I said to my children a couple of weeks ago, we were doing the studies with them, and I said, when you go into any gathering, when you go into any meeting, and anybody is teaching, and anybody is speaking, and you don't get taught while you are there, then take to the next level, which means probably you know what he's talking about. Then, if you know what he's talking about, you need to get corrected because you are not doing it well. And if it doesn't seem like you are being corrected because you are being corrected and you are not getting it well, you need to get rebuked so your head can be properly straight and then you are trained for every good work. I said, if this doesn't happen, pack your Bibles and get out of that place. When I listen to anybody teach or preach, I come with an open mind. I want to be taught. If I don't get taught, I don't get corrected, I don't get rebuked, I don't get trained, you know what I do? I deal with myself first. I must have a problem. I got you. You know, because I know the easy thing is, oh, that's a wrong place, I'm the wrong place, let's go. No. Deal with yourself. Start with yourself. Take, you see, you know, Jesus, he said, you've been seeing a speck in your brother's eye all this while. You thought you were seeing a speck in his eyes. Okay. But all the while, you've got a big plank in your eyes. Apparently, you were blind. I don't know what you were seeing. So you better go into the ministry of removing the plank from your eyes so you can see. He didn't say the plank just came. He said, all is well. There's been a plank in your eyes. So how did you see the speck? It was a pigment of your imagination. Because you were blind. So I want to deal with me. I said, Lord, why am I not getting anything? Lord, why am I not being taught? Lord, what have I gone? Where have I gone? What's happening with me? Am I not open to your word? What's going on with me? I want to deal with me. So I go into the ministry of log affairs. Get a log out of my life.
God is good, isn't he? Our God is a good God.
Me in him. His word in me. Get you to that point where it's no longer about what you want. It's no longer about your selfish inclination and desires. No. That's why I love whenever we. It's not what we're thinking. No, it's what he wants. When I teach with intercessors in most of the places, I say, we need to get to the point whereby we are making declarations from the throne. Declarations come from the throne. You don't go to the throne. You don't make declarations to the throne. You know, I don't know, one of the speakers quoted Kings 17 to us when Elijah went up to the king, Ahab, and said to him, as long as the Lord God of Israel, whom I serve, before whom I stand, lives, there will be no rain until I say so. Now, Elijah was standing somewhere. He was standing in the presence of God. And the presence of God is a higher authority than the position of a king. So he could make a declaration to the king. He said, hey, king, you're on the throne, but I'm on a higher throne. That's why I said, there's a God before whom I stand. So long as this God lives where I stand, I declare to you, you guys have been trusted. No, foolish here. You don't even have rain. You've eaten too much food and you're misbehaving. Your brains are not working well. Now, when you don't have rain and you don't have food, you come back to your senses. And now you're not going to have that until I say so. And then you walked away.
And they said, oh, look at that guy. One of those crazy guys again.
When they didn't have rain, they went all over looking for him. And until he said, rain come down. You won't understand that until you go and read the last chapter of James. He said, Elijah was a man. Just like you and I. But he prayed earnestly that it should not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again. And there was rain. And the ground produced its crops. And there was food for the people to eat again. Without me, you can do nothing. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, sometimes peculiar people. I just love them. Another one I read says, you are God's own special people. You are a chosen. What does it mean to choose? Chosen. You know, you go to the fruit store and you want to buy apple. You just go and just pick any apple and put it in the basket. What do? You choose out of the so many apples there, and probably very many nice apples. You still, you put some in the basket, you take it back out of the basket, return it back into the shelf, and you pick another one. The chosen generation. God chose you. Looked around in your family and he chose you. Came to Seattle and he chose you. Jumped up, left all the way, went to California and he chose you. Then he went around, got to Texas and he chose you. Then he went down to Alabama and he chose someone from there. Then he went all down to Boston and he chose you. Then he was looking around again and came to D.C. and then he chose you. And he came back again down all the way to Arkansas and then he chose you. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. Priest with royalty. So you are priest and king. You don't only represent, but you have authority to declare. A royal priest. Making declarations from the throne. How do you get to the throne? Psalm 24. Say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and everything that is in the earth all belong to him. Listen to those paraphrasing now. Then he now went forth to say, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Most High? Who shall stand in his holy place? Because for you to declare from the throne, you've got to be on the throne. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Most High? And who shall stand in his holy place? You who has clean hands, a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. You see why we must abide in the vine? A holy nation. There are certain churches in preaching holiness. By the following Sunday, the number is going to deplete to less than 10%. I guarantee you that. You know why? Everyone is running away from the pruning process. When the word of holiness comes, it does a lot of pruning that you didn't even expect would happen to you. What you thought was okay. It's not really okay after all. nation. We must be holy. We must strive. I said it to us when he said, we must strive to be holy. And I was saying, nobody can be holy. Now it's not possible to be holy. You know, you just need our eyes and just, I know that. But the Bible says something. Psalm 119, when you read verse 9, you say, how can a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man make his way righteous? How can a young man make his way holy? Some say, how can a young man make his way pure? He said, by taking heed according to thy word. And if you go down to verse 11 of it, he says, your word, O Lord, have I done what? Hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When you treasure God's word, you hide it in your heart. You hide it in your heart. Those of you who have gold here, you don't put your gold on your doorstep, do you? Do you put your gold on your doorstep? For everybody to see when they come, just pick it up and go? What do? You hide them. Or you just take your credit card, your debit card, and just drop it outside in front of the door with a PIN number and everything. Say, just use when you like it. Is that what you do? No, you hide it. You know, have you seen guys on the ATM machines before? You're not even looking at them. You're not even interested in what they're doing. And the guy goes, and in my brain I'm thinking, I don't need that. But because that's where his treasure is. You have to say, where a man's treasure is, there is happiness also. Where's your treasure? What do you treasure? Why don't you keep bags of cash in your house on your dining table? It's just there. Everybody just come, just stack all the pounds of those dollars there and just go around, leave the door open. Do you do that? No, you take it to the bank. You say, keep it, because you want the bank to be liable. If it gets stolen, they will pay you your money. Isn't it? So you hide it. You hide it. You don't get devil sticks or gums and stick your dollars around on your shirt as you're walking down in the streets in some very busy downtown streets. You know, those times we're going on a prayer journey and went to a particular place and you know what we said? This place is not as nice because of the kind of people that were there. Anything can happen anytime. It was scary. Then they see all those dollars hanging on your body and everybody comes taking it. Oh, you hide it. And keep that is in your pocket. And somebody brushes the pocket, you check. How many of you understand what I'm saying here? You hide it. Psalm 119, verse 11. He says, your word, O Lord, have I hidden, kept securely, put safely, guarded, protected in my heart. I don't want to lose it. I store it safely in my heart so I don't lose it, because I treasure it. Where a man's treasure is, there his heart is also. If you treasure God's word, your heart will be in his word. And no one let Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, because you treasure God, you treasure his word, your heart is in his word, your will is in his word, your desire is in his word, your entire life is propelled and influenced by his word alone. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto some men, some righteous men, unto all men. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Who's that grace? Jesus. Who is Jesus?
He's the Word.
John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
And the Word was what? God.
We go down further and say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Talking about who? Jesus. So the grace of God that brings salvation, the Word of God, has appeared unto all men. Grace is the Word as well. And you know what I love about Titus? This grace that has appeared unto all men is the teacher. He teaches us to say no. You want to get angry? He says no. Somebody offends and you want to revenge, he says no. You see something that doesn't belong to you and you look right, you want to pick it up and he says no. There's this story that was told in my country many years ago, and I think it happened for real. This man took four of his sons to the farm to go and steal in a maize farm. And so he put one to look this way, one to look that way, one to look this way, and one to look that way. So he, the father, goes into the farm to steal maize. So he had his pouch with him. So he was stealing. So the moment he was going to take the first one, the youngest son on the other side shouted, "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy!" And he just comes out and watch as he. Looks around and there's no one. And he goes back in. And then the son is watching him. As soon as he takes his hand, "Daddy, daddy, 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 daddy." About 3 or 4 times, he said, "What is it? Did you see anybody around?" He said, "No, daddy, you told this one to look that way, this one to look that way, this one to look that way, this one to look, but who is looking that way?" There is an eye that sees through the thickest of darkness. Grace teaches us to say no to worldly passion, to ungodliness. It teaches you to say no. We don't embrace that as part of grace. Is this the one with the frivolity that they teach that we carry?
Oh yeah, grace of death covers everything. His grace is covering us. His grace is there. His grace is there.
Of course, we know His grace is there. But that grace is a teacher. He's teaching you to say no. Why don't you say no? Hallelujah. Hey, the Lord help us.
You see, that's the issue we have with the body of Christ. And that's why prayers seem not to be answered. Because even when lots of prayers are said, they come out of a selfish platform. They come from hearts that are not attached to the true vine. So how can there be answers to them? You know what I love? What Jesus said in verse 7 there, in John where we read? He said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask anything." Because at that point you have gone through all the pruning process. Like Mama said, the chisel, it has chiseled out too many things from you. You know, certain things need to be chiseled out of us. Because it's so attached to our bones, we need to kind of chisel it out. And that would hurt badly. Because it is so attached to you. You know, many of us are not attached to so many things. Once that thing leaves you, it's as if your life is gone. I think the only thing that should have that attachment, that should make you feel that way, should be Him. And Him alone. I spoke to someone and I said this. I said, "You can take everything that I have. I have very little anyway, so maybe that's why it's not bothering me." I don't lock my cars sometimes when I park them. And my neighbor, he can't understand why I don't lock the car. He's an unbeliever. And he says, it's just a car. Let the thief steal it. It's all right. It's not even be a liability for me because he needs to go and insure it. He needs to go and do a lot of stuff. Let him steal it. It's just a car. You want to take all I have? Fine. Take all my clothes? Fine. Take all the money? Fine. Take everything that I have. Take all. No problem. There's not going to be a fight. You want my children? You can have them. It's not going to be a fight. I'm sure that is touching some of you here. Oh, how could he say that? How could he say that? Yeah, you want them? You want my wife? Have her. Well, you want to touch my salvation in Christ? Hey, we're going to fight it out. Does it mean I don't love my wife?
No.
Does it mean I don't love my children?
No.
But there is someone that is ahead of them. And they need to understand that. What I've just said, I say even in the presence of my wife and my children, so that they know that there is someone. And I said to my son, hey, I'm just your daddy here, but we all have a dad. He's more important to you than me. He's there. Stay attached to him. Hook up to him. It's all about him. Our life is about him. Everything is all about him. All those emotional blackmails, I call them. Jesus, just let me. When you're with him, you know, I said something, I think the first night here. She said, there are certain things God will pass you through so you can get to where he wants to take you. It's not like he has abandoned you. He's in it. He's watching you out. It's like when you take gold and you put in the fire, the more you apply the heat, the more impurities you burn out from it. If you see raw gold before, you will not take it. It looks like a dog poo. Excuse the use of that phrase. Anyway. When I saw it the first time, one of my chief and he said, the guy gave me, he said, oh, so what's that? So he smiled. He said, this is raw gold. You would never take it. Many things we carry and it's called gold. It's not gold. You know, last night we were praying about the fake gold. They give you the fake gold. It's just a fake gold. That's fake gold. Real gold carries a kind of glory inside. And the more heat you apply to it, the more purification it goes through, the better it comes out. So the refiner's fire is going to go through us to refine us so we can declare, like it says in Peter, after he has chosen us, so you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Why? To declare, to show forth the praises of him who has brought us out of darkness into light. That's what God wants for our lives. That's what God wants for America. To declare the praises of him. How wonderful will it be to see the nation of America taking Jesus to the nations of the world? Sadly, once upon a time, so sad that our president, what he could do was probably go and and showcase homosexuality. He met brick wall in some African nations. He came to one another and said, in this place, it will not happen. You know, the Kenyan one was the most embarrassing. I pitied him on that day. How can the most powerful president in the world travel in Air Force One? Is that what they call it? That plane that can hang in the air for as long as possible. You get to one small tiny country. And instead of you to think about how to make these people come out of the mess in which they are, and all you want to sell to them is homosexuality. And I love the boldness of that president.
So, Your Excellency, we have many things here that worry and bother us in Kenya. And I can assure you that homosexuality is not one of them. We're thinking about the girl child education. We're thinking about infrastructure. We're thinking about developing our people and making life better for them. Homosexuality is certainly not part of the issues we've got. But we're believing there's going to be a change. I love Trump. I love him. And I walk among certain people who don't like him a lot. I meet so many people who don't like him. I say, I don't care, but I still just like him. So I don't like why he talks. Yeah. I still like him. I don't mind. I try to look through in the history of this nation. I've not seen one president who has done so much for the kingdom like him. I've not seen one president who has openly stood for the gospel like him. So he talks like this. Of course, what do you expect of a young Christian? He'd been born again 30, 40 years ago. He just got born again a couple of months back. You expect to be on the same pedestal with him? No. Even though I understand the fact that, in fact, that's another good thing he's exhibiting, which I like. The boldness he exhibits simply shows me there is no baby Holy Ghost. He's a young Christian, but the Holy Ghost in him is not a baby Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We must abide in the vine so that righteousness will sound out from this nation to the entire nations of the world. So that righteousness will sound out from our churches. But what is the thing that sounds out from our churches today? Immorality, infidelity, name it. Fraud. In church. Money laundering. In church. Pastor rang me up some time ago and he said, he invited someone to come speak in a meeting. And I'm speaking in the same meeting. And he said, we have a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, with one of the speakers. I said, what's the problem? He said, the speaker is insisting that they fly him in and out of the private jet. That will cost $56,000. I'll tell you. He said, please, let me confide in you, please. This is what we're going through. You know what I said to him? You don't need him. To any jungle to preach the gospel. Let me just get there. It's a great privilege and opportunity. I will sleep in any hole to preach the gospel.
You see, we must die. We have to die to all those things. And this nation, you see, when you look at America as a nation, there are too many things that we are alive to. We must die.
I was thinking about the case of this, I can't remember his name now, the current one going on, that Mama said two people have just come up to say they are the ones. You know,
you see, my brain can't understand those kind of stuff. 30-something years back, they're talking about one party he went to and whatever happened there. Who cares? Even the Bible says in the days of ignorance, God overlooks. People talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. You know, during the election, CNN will show one thing every 5 minutes, every 3 minutes they are showing it. Oh, see how he treats you, man. Look how he does it, man. One pastor rang me up from one of the states and said, I don't like Trump. I don't like the way he treats you, man. I said, how did you treat you, man, before you got born again? And he was quiet. Look at the average American young man. That is not a Christian. What is their, what do they talk about? What is their life all about?
That's why the church needs to arise. We need to get back in the vine. A lot of the branches have been cut off. We need to be grafted back into the vine. Into our source of livelihood. Into our source of power. So that we can ask anything.
You know, I like that bit of ask anything. Anything. Just ask anything you want. Once you have been pruned and chiseled, your anything becomes the will of the Father. So as intercessors, survive in the true vine. America must abide in the true vine. Our leaders, and we are the ones that are going to propel this, at least the intercessors, would begin with that, lifting up the nation, lifting up the church, lifting up the people, that righteousness will rule.
Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto myself. So that Jesus will be lifted up in my life, in my thinking, in my functions, in my operations, in everything I do, that Jesus will be lifted up so he can draw men to himself. As a minister, lift up Jesus. As a nation, lift up Jesus. The more we lift him up, the more he draws men to himself. We must abide so we can bear fruits. And fruits that would abide as well. So may the Lord deliver us from genetically modified Christianity. So we have a lot of that. Sadly, so to say, Christianity ended with you. The day you got the gospel and you got born again, it ended there. Just packaged it, you just stayed all by yourself. You have not known any fruit. I've lost touch of time. Sorry. We must give ourselves to him completely. You know, Pastor Chin was talking about God being slow to anger, compassionate, full of love. And we as intercessors, we must give ourselves fully to him. We must be slow to anger, compassionate, we must be full of love.
will surrender totally to Him. If you're talking about compromise, we must not compromise. We must not compromise the faith. We must stand whatever it costs, whatever it takes. Like that scripture says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Intercessors must rise. Intercessors must abide. Intercessors must stay in the true vine so that the branches can bear fruit, and fruit that has seed produce another fruit again that has seed and produce another fruit again that has seed. And it is a continuous process of fruitfulness, bringing down the glory of the Father over the nations. As I close, finally, our popular scripture which we use a lot, especially in the JA, is from Chronicles. It says, if my people who are called by my name, you know, the verse just before that says, if I shut the heaven and there is no rain. You know, so when people tell me, you know, in school I was taught that rain is as a result of some scientific process whereby there's been an evaporation of water into the air, and then after some time the temperature cools and then something changes up there and then it comes down. It is a lie of Satan. It is God that brings rain. Because if I shut the heaven, that there is no rain. Tell me what scientific procedure is bringing that rain. Elijah came and said, you will not have rain until I say so. Where was the scientific process? He said, but if my people is waiting for you and I, who are called by my name, would humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, so then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. How many of you agree that America needs healing? The nation needs healing. Hallelujah.
That was great, wasn't it?